prayerful lives. She should work earnestly, faithfully, and unitedly with her husband to save souls. These next two paragraphs, I'm sorry, I have to read them anyway. I know it's late, but they relate to the family, and I think it's just really important. Let the minister's wife who has children remember that in her home she has a missionary field in which she should labor with untiring energy and unflagging zeal, knowing that the results of her work will endure throughout eternity. Are not the souls of her children of as much value as the souls of the heathen? Then let her tend them with loving care. She is charged with the responsibility of showing to the world the power and excellence of home religion. She is to be controlled by principle, not by impulse, and she is to work with the consciousness that God is her helper. She is to allow nothing to divert her from her mission. The influence of the mother who has a close connection with Christ is of infinite worth. Her ministry of love makes the home a Bethel. Christ works with her, turning the common water of life into the wine of heaven. Her children will grow up to be a blessing and an honor to her in this life and in the life to come. And this last statement says this: nothing can excuse the minister for neglecting the inner circle for the larger circle outside. The spiritual welfare of his family comes first. This is for you, gentlemen. In the day of final reckoning, God will inquire what he did to win to Christ those whom he took the responsibility of bringing into this world. Great good done for others cannot cancel the debt that he owes to God to care for his own children. There should exist in the minister's family a unity that will preach an effectual sermon on practical godliness. As the minister and his wife faithfully do their duty in the home, restraining, Nathan, where are you? Okay. Correcting, advising, counseling, guiding. You know that one, don't you, Michelle? As the minister and his wife faithfully do their duty in the home, restraining, correcting, advising, counseling, guiding, they are becoming better fitted to labor in the church and are multiplying agencies for the accomplishment of God's work outside the home. The members of the family become members of the family above and are a power for good, exerting a far-reaching influence. This week, we had an opportunity for the ladies to get together, and I especially enjoyed our time together. We miss Cindy, but it was really nice for us to get together. And we had the opportunity to talk a little bit. And some of the things that we reviewed in that time together was, most importantly, I want to challenge you and charge you ladies to remember that you need to have a personal daily relationship with Christ. That's the most important thing that we can do as pastors' wives. Each one of you have had trials and challenges that you have, if given the opportunity, could share and would really affect a great heartfelt response. The Lord has blessed each one of you. He has put you with your husband for a purpose. Each one of you were chosen specifically to be his helpmeet. And without that personal relationship with God, we cannot do what he has called us to do and what your husbands have been ordained to do. So I want you to make that your first priority. Secondly, we need to pray without ceasing. We need to pray all the time. And for every situation. And we talked about sometimes the difficulties of trying to find time for that devotion. And we talked about how we needed to just ask the Lord to really give us that time. And I know he will. So we need to do that. We also need to protect him. And you being on the road and in the mission field, you know what you're supposed to do. And you know how to do it. I empower you to continue. We need to be the encourager for him. We are his support. All of you were mentioned as best friends of your husbands. You are the one that he confides in. You are the one that he looks to be his friend and to be his lover. You are his helpmeet. And you are who the Lord gave to be his pastor's wife. So I want to challenge you with those words and to let you know how proud we are of you and how much we love you. And we know that God will especially bless you in your ministry as you minister to your children, to your husband, and to all those with whom you come in contact. And at this time, we have a special gift that we'd like to give to you. There's a gift for each of the men and each of the ladies.
It's been a blessing, amen? Amen. I feel like singing, and that's good because it says in our program it's closing song. So let's sing number 369 for those of you who can still pick up a hymnal. Number 369, Sowing in the Morning. Let's stand together as we sing. Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dew eve, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Sowing in the sunshine, sowing in the shadows, fearing neither clouds nor winter's chilling breeze. By and by the harvest and the labor's mended, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Going forth with weeping, sowing for the Master, though the loss sustain, our spirit often grieves. When our weeping's over, welcome, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. We're going to pray together. Right after we pray, though, I want those who have been ordained and their spouses to make their way to the back, kind of like a receiving line, so that some people can greet you in the back. Could you do that? So we'll give them time to make it back there, and then we'll get up and greet them. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, today this song just kind of summarizes that there's a harvest coming, and that you see that there are a need of laborers. And today we're thankful for those who've been set aside for that purpose. May they be instructors. May they be teachers. May they multiply, because there are people looking for the waymarks. They want to know what time it is. They want to know who they are, what they should do. They need not just a regular message from a regular church, but your message from the remnant church. And so give them just the power and might that they need. May they be watching as they were charged to do, watching for the saints. Watch
Ye Saints, we sang as well. May they just be have that sense of urgency, knowing we're living in the time of the sounding of the seventh trumpet. And we remember just one last line from that hymn 602. Oh, brother, be faithful. Soon Jesus will come, for whom we have waited so long. Keep these men and their wives faithful. We thank you, and we praise you. In Christ's name we come. Amen. Amen. You may be seated while the candidates make their way, or actually the new ministers make their way to the back.